We were in the middle of the Sugya of Dichui. We read the Gemara once just to get a basic overview. But as I said, right, to review the questions we're going to have to deal with, obviously, our Gemara is asking a very local question, which is there Dichui by Karbanot? Which, as we said, obviously, in order to fully understand that, you'll have to know Dichui by Karbanot. And guess what? Dichui by Mitzvot also. Because the concept of Dichui, you'll have to understand. And as we said, we're going to have to see the difference between Yerv and Idche and Dachui Me'ikara, and whether those are quantitatively different or they are fundamentally, conceptually, qualitatively different types of Dichui, all types of wonderful questions we're going to have to ask. So, let us see what we can do. So, if you look at, let's look at the Sugya in Krita. Okay, let's expand our view a little bit here. It's a parallel Sugya basically to ours, but let's at least take a glance at it. So, the Gemara in Krita says as follows. Boy, Rabbi Eliezer, ve'elazah. Baalei chayim nidchin olam. Are animals subject to dichui or not? Now, I should point out already that obviously our Gemara brings it up as a secondary thought within the context of Karban Pesach, whereas the Gemara and Peter simply ask the question.
What else are we looking
at? Other things. What? Well, other things. So, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. All right, kama shanim gadol zebeninu v'lo shama halacha zoom imani. So Rabbi Yochanan expresses in shock. How could Rabbi Lazar ask such a question? I thought I saw him. Did I not see him?
No.
How many years has he grown up and been learning Torah with me? Anybody never heard this from me. But he wasn't paying attention in shir. Michlal, Rabbi Yochanan Amra, which means that Rabbi Yochanan had said something about it.
What is
that? I think where it says yes, in Amra Rabbi Yochanan, and this was the case we saw yesterday, but now not in the Pesach context. This is the original context, according to this Gemara. Behema shel shnei shutvin, the animal co-owned by Judah and Zevi. Welcome back to your partnership on your cow, but the non-grass-fed cow that you sell to buy the grass-fed cow. I remember, don't worry. Hiktish chetzia, if you sanctify half of it, v'chazer v'laka chetzia, and then Judah buys the second half of it from Zevi, v'ikdisha, and now he's makdish the second half of it, kidosha v'ina kreva. It is holy, but cannot be sacrificed, v'oset t'mura u'tumarata v'chayot zebab. Shema mina, and again, we learn three things from this. Okay? What? Because remember, same as this is the exact same word as yesterday. The value.
Yeah, I know it doesn't mean what. I'm saying the value of it is.
Right, it's well, right, is that it's the second you sanctified it, it was only its value. Right? It wasn't yet a karbon.
Right.
We still, now, in Kiddushin we have this, but the Gemara there points out again, as we have in our Sugya, the notion of dichui meikara heve dichui. One case that I did not give you, just because, you know, the sugya was long enough, but I will summarize it for you. The Mishnah in Yom HaDav Samach, Bet Amar Aleph, deals with the case of the two Seire Yom HaKippurim. Remember, we have one that goes to God and one that goes to Azazel, whatever that means. And the Mishnah says, what happens if one of them dies? So it says. So the Mishnah says you bring a new pair, do a new goral, and then you bring them. The third one, Yereva Yishtaev. And which one is the third? Is it the first, or is it the second of the second group? And just there's a halacha being mafresh izug. So the Gemara brings this as a machloket. Amar Rav, sheni shebizug rishon yikrav. Rav says that the second in the second pair is brought. The second of the first pair is brought. The extra is sheni shebizug sheni yira. The second of the second pair is the one that yira chiyastayv. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, sheni shebizug rishon yira. The second one of the first pair, meaning the partner of the one who died, the twin of the one who died, that goes yira chiyastayv. Sheni shebizug sheni yikrav, and the whole second pair is brought. But Micah Mithlagi, really, I should have given you this. Why did I not give you this? I don't know.
The whole pair makes it.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't do this. So, the reason, I don't know why I didn't do this, honestly. I think I'm just running out of space and I didn't necessarily calculate properly here. So, Rav Savar, Balei Chaim, in Edidachin. Now, why does Rav hold that you bring the first one from the first pair, because he doesn't hold of Balei Chaim Nidachin at all. He doesn't hold of it at all. And therefore, the fact that one of the first pair died, which means temporarily the second one in the first pair cannot be brought as a karban, because it needs to be brought in pairs, one Lashem and one Lazazel, doesn't invalidate the karban. And therefore, all you need to do is bring another one. So now you'll say, why don't you bring one more? Okay, that's a special halacha. You need to mafresh as a zug. Right? Rabbi Yochanan Zavar Balei Chaim Nidochin. And Rabbi Yochanan thinks it is. Right, so again, just to review. So the Gemara says, if you have a pair, Mantigo Lashem and Lazazel, one of those dies, and now you need a second one. So the question is, you have to separate another karban. However, there's a halacha that when it comes to these karban, you have to separate them in pairs. You have to separate two more. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan says, you separate two more and you only use the second pair. The first one became invalidated. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan l'shitato that Balei Chaim nidachin. The dichoy applies to animals, and therefore the fact that the first pair was kosher and then became pasul because one of them died and therefore it wasn't a pair. I know this is very hard, but 2 minus 1 is now 1, which is not 2. It's very hard math. I got it. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it says Balei Chaim Nidachin, there's nothing you can do which would validate the remaining animal of the first pair. Because Balei Chaim Nidachin. Rav says it's not true. Rav says Ein Balei Chaim Nidachin. So, when one of the first two animals dies, what do you need to do? You need to get another karban. It happens to be there's a technical halacha that you can't be mafresh less than a zug, but the remaining karban, the remaining animal of the first pair is still kosher because he doesn't hold of Balei Chaim Nidachin. What? That one is Yirat Sheistayev. Because there's nothing to do with it. Not because of Dichoy, there's nothing to do with it. Right? What? But you do the Goral. No, you have to do a Goral. You have to do a Goral.
No, when we have three now, how do we know which one?
The first one is whatever it was, and then you do a Goral and figure.
Why does this thing go under the dog
pile? What?
Why does this thing go under the dog pile when you already said that?
Dichoy, what?
If you need to bring it as a pair.
You don't need to bring it as a pair, you have to separate it as a pair.
You have to separate it as a pair. Then
I mean, you also have to bring it as a pair, but different pair. In this case, according to Rav. You separate it as a pair, but you bring one from each.
It's not.
And now I know why I didn't. Now I know I didn't bring the Gemara. I didn't bring that Gemara because yes. Now I know why I didn't give it to you. Right, that's why. There was a logic to this. Which was 4. Was skip to source 4 for a second. Was that the Sugya and Psachim present this as a machloket tanoim. Right, so the Mishnah and Psachim tells you, Hamafrish nekeva lepischa. If you separate a female as a Pesach, can you do that? No. O zachar ben shtei shanim, or a male karban, but it's 2 years old. Can you do that?
No.
Also no. Yira ad sheyistayev. You have to let it graze. V'yiplu damav l'nedav al shlamim. V'imilcher, v'yiplu damav l'nedav al shlamim. Hamafresh pescha umate. If someone separates pescha and dies, lo yivenu b'no achrot l'shem pescha l'shem shlamim. His son can only bring it as a shlamim.
No.
Oh, now I'm really annoyed. No, I left off a key line. Now I. Ugh. This is what happens when I. See, I try to not give you endless makara, but I left off a really important line. So, anyways, the Gemara then says, Amar Rav Huna Brei Der Rav Yoshua. Oh, no, I didn't. Okay, fine. Shema Minat Tlat. From here you learn three things. Balei Chayim Nitchen. Again, you learn that Dichoy applies by animals. Why?
Because it's Dichoy and it's an animal.
Very good, very good. Dichoy me Ushmamina Dichoy me Ikara heavy Dichoy.
Because it was always
possible and we still apply Dichoy. Ushmamina Yesh Dichoy Bedamim. Very good. So now look at Rashi. But look at Rashi here. Okay? What? These are all the Rashis on the Sukkah. So now look at Rashi says. Ozachar ben shanim deina roi lepesach. Again, this was just for clarity. It's not roi for a pesach. It's 2 years old. Yira achi istaev. V'yavi bidmav shlamiv dekavate hafrasha. So he says, okay, what do we learn? Let's go through this very carefully. It has to graze and get a mum. Why? Because the hafrasha worked, which makes it a pesach. And therefore, it's Kodesh, and I have to contend with that problem, yes?
Yeah.
However, I can't ever bring it, because it's a female, or it's a male that's too old. Therefore, what do I learn from this?
That it's not.
That it's Nidcheh, and even though Dichui Me'ikara, because it was never Kasher. Avo Bishim Me'ikara Udachui Areyuk Tikavua Shenidcheh She'enu Atmo Karev Shlamim Ela Damav. And why is it considered Dichui Bedamim? Because, right, and therefore, and it's only its money that's brought as a shlamim after you're actually yistayev. Hamafresh pischa umeit, lekamem farshem meit, fine. Lo yevenu ba'achar l'shem shlamim, davele pesach shemitu ba'ala ve'in kan minuya, fine. Shema mina ba'ali chayim nidachen. So, behema shenidchet b'chayim. An animal that was pushed aside in its lifetime, dichuya dichuy gamor. It's being pushed aside and rejected. Disqualified is a full disqualification. Sha'af kishen nireit lema shahaita ruya. Even if it were to become ra'ui, eina kreva. It can't be brought. Right? This, not surprising, this is what we said dichui means. Dichui means that not just something's invalid, that something remains invalid, even if the disqualifying feature is removed. The fact that it was disqualified means that it remains disqualified, even if, in theory, the factor that was making it disqualified ceases to exist. Good. Ella Rowan. Therefore, you have to let it. Great. Dehatnan tire v'lo karva shlamim hi kufashizu hu raya ta'kim mitchila shekol moter pesach karv shlamim. Udilo kirebi shim'on, not like Rebbe Shim'on, the Amar Baalei Chayim Einan Nidochen Beberek Shnei Seirim. Not like Rabbi Shimon, who we just saw in the Gemara in Yomua, who I mentioned, who says that there is no such halacha. Right. And how does he know? So he quotes the sugya, the Gamrinan mi Baal Mum Shenidche Shavar Numumo Nireh. Right. So now what we've learned so far is that the entire institution is
a machlokes.
A machloket. Good. So now not only are we going to have to understand the sugya, we're going to have to understand why you might not hold of it. At all, right? So, right, we need to understand why you wouldn't hold of dichoy. We're going to need to understand why, if you hold of dichoy, there's a difference between dichoy meikara and nirvinidche. One more sugya, and then we'll try to start analyzing it. So now look back at number three. Amar Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Hoshea. Mitame. Mikdash. If someone makes the mikdash, tame. So what is the carbon that he has to bring? Karban olav v'yoreid. What is a karban olav v'yoreid? Very good. It's a karban. It's a very unique type of a chatat, which you bring if you are rich, you bring an animal. If you're less rich, you bring
a bird.
Exactly. Right, and less rich. So, no, they don't. Ashir shifrish kain. So what if someone is rich, but he separated birds? Likiv sato. Is he allowed to do that?
No.
Why would he do that? Because he's cheap. He's cheap. He's worth, he is a billionaire. Okay? He is number, I don't know, to pick a random number, he's number 38 on Forbes' wealthiest people on the face of planet Earth, okay? I don't know who that is. Let's see if he happens to be Jewish. Forbes. Okay, what did I say? 38?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see if Bimikra, we hit on a Jew. Robin Zeng. Nope, don't think so. What? If I'd gone for 35, I would have gotten Miriam Adelson, and that would have been Jewish. But then I would have been accusing an actual person of being cheap, which I'm not. I have no idea. I don't think so. They're rich, and apparently they're very philanthropic, which is why I know the name more, so. Doesn't matter, okay? Someone's a billionaire. That was all that mattered, okay? Okay, pick a random rich name, okay? Is this bothering you? I don't know. Scrooge McDuck. Are you happy? McDuckstein. Scrooge McDuckstein. Okay? There you go. Okay, Scrooge McDuckstein. Yalla? Okay? Is cheap. Therefore, he wants to bring his carbon, but he wants to be cheap about it. He's worth $70 billion. In a chanami. But why should I spend money on a sheep when I can spend money on the birds? Is he allowed to do that? No. Then what happens? He, Scrooge McDuckstein, loses his wealth. Vehe ani, he is now poor. So now, he lost all his money. He had invested all his money with Madoff. Because they were friends. Okay? Fine, in crypto. Okay? In... I don't know. Make up your own crypto that he thought was the next big thing, but it wasn't. The Migdal coin. Shine, fine. Shine, Migdal coin. And I gave you an idea I didn't want to give you. Okay. Of course you did. So, Veheani becomes poor. So, now is he allowed to bring birds? If he would now become Chayv and a carbon, be allowed to bring cane? Yes, he would. But he separated as a rich person, and he separated the poor man's carbon. So, ha'ol v'nidche, yidche. What? Say it again?
That because he separated the bird instead of the sheep, he loses all his money. And because he lost all his money, he's now allowed to breed the bird that he already separated.
No, he can't, because it's nidcha. Because since he separated when he wasn't allowed to, it remains nidcha. That's the point. That's the relevance of our sugya. Amar Avuna Brei Rav Yeshua. From here we learn three things. Guess what we learn? Guess what we... Shock. This is going to be shocking. Shmami na tla. Shmami na balechaim nidachen. One. Uktushat Domim Nidche. Why do we learn Uktushat Domim Nidche? Because when he was wealthy, right, they were never Ro'i. Right? They were never Ro'i because he was rich. He wasn't allowed to bring the birds. Vidachui Meikara Vidachui. Now that actually follows from this. Right? Those are actually related facts, right? The simple shot here is that those are related. Right, being the fact that it was dichoy meikara, avi dichoy, is what made it that it was only kedusha damim. Right, the fact that it was dichoy meikara. Right. So now the Gemara says, "Motiv Rav Chama, I'm going to give the bezak odom a pesach tirachi stavi dimachov yavi dimav pesach yolda zachar yirachi stavi machov yavi dimav pesach." The Tosefta in Tmura says that if one separated a female as a Pesach, so Tirach Yisdaiv, and sell it and bring the money as Pesach. If it gives birth to a male, then the male should also have to be to graze and then sell it. And Rabbi Shimon Omer Hu Atzmo Yikra Pesach. And that's why I didn't do it, because I brought you at least one position of it. That's why. How many can I bring you? That's why. Okay, I'm not losing my mind. There was a limit to how many I could put on the sheet. I could put forever on the sheet. You'd hate me more than you already hate me from the fact that I gave you this hard sugya to begin with. Shimon Omer Hu Atzmo Yikra Pesach. He says the male child, obviously not the mother, because it's a female. It can't be brought as a Pesach. But the male child of the female carbon, pasul carbon Pesach, can be brought as a carbon Pesach. Why? Ba'alei Chayim Eina Nidachin. Because Shimon holds that the mother was sanctified as a Pesach. So it had Kedushat Pesach. But can it be brought as a Pesach? No, but the child of that Karban takes on the mother's Kedusha, which is Kedushat Pesach. Right? But the child... But he doesn't hold of any of this because he holds in by Mechal Nidachin. Rav Shimon doesn't hold of it. Always. Yep. That's right. So now he says, he clearly holds that it's... And now the Gemara says, Amri de Rav Oshia. So Rav Oshia said, Ki Amri l'Rab Shimon Svir Leibah l'Chaim in Adidachin. So when we say that living animals can, right, are Nidche, that's the Rabbanan. Because Rav Shimon, it isn't. And therefore, whenever you see any sugya that depends on Dichui, as Rashi told us in Psachim, you will have to read into that Rav Shimon rejects every last one of them. So then the Gemara says, okay, what about the sugya that I mentioned in Yoma? V'hagrala eina me'akevet. Rav Shimon. D'tanya, mei echad men, mei chaver shol v'hagrala divrei Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon totally disagrees on the whole Yoma case. He just thinks that if one of the animals dies, what do? You get another one. Because he doesn't hold a Bali Chaim Nidachin, so therefore the first carbon is the remaining member of the first pair is still kosher. And he doesn't think you need a new pair, because why would you need a new pair? Even if you hold Ein Bali Chaim Nidachin, because you hold you need a pair because you need Hagrala, because you need to do lots. Rav Shimon doesn't even think B'dieved you need lots at all, and therefore he thinks that you just get another animal, because he doesn't hold Hagrala, he also doesn't hold Bali Chaim Nidachin, right? Okay, now, we've seen a little bit of a survey of these sugyot. Now, what should strike you as strange about everything we've just seen? Anything strike you as weird? Let's just analyze what we have, right? We have the position of Shimon that Ein Balei Chaim Nidachin. We have many other positions of Balei Chaim Nidachin. And then the Gemara notes that even with the Balei Chaim Nidachin, there are a few things that are each independent chidushim that one didn't have to accept. That even the old Balei Chaim Nidachin, one can distinguish between Nirev and Nidche and Dachim Eikara. One can distinguish between Dichli B'damim and Dichli B'em Gufa Karban. Yeah? What is anything strike you about this sugya? What is sort of odd about the whole sugya? What's missing? Right, we want to start. Right, we want to try to understand. So, why would you hold duchamei kara? What is dichoi? What is so? You, why do you hold dichoi? Right? Anyone want to say what's sort of strange in this whole thing? What? It never defines it. And what else doesn't it do? Very good. It never provides a source. Right? Let's just add our complexities here. There is no source in any of these sugyot for the notion of dichoi. The Gemara just posits its existence. Now, does our Gemara say there's a machloket of whether dichoi exists?
No,
never says that. Never. It says there's a machloket about? No. Balei chayin. Whether that concept called dichoi, that has no source, applies to animals. So it provides no source for the concept of dichoi, which everyone seems to agree with. It then brings a machloket whether that applies to animals, with no source. It then throws about a bunch of distinctions, all of them with? No source.
Does
the Mishnah even bring up dichoi ever? The Gemara is medayik that it does.
But it doesn't say, it's not Sarah
in the Mishnah. It might be Pshat in the Mishnah, it doesn't say. So now let's try to. Oh, what am I saying? Oh, okay. Now, I'm going to retract this for the fifth time. The reason I didn't put the Gemara in Yoma is that I did put the Gemara in Yoma. I just missed it for some reason on the sheet because I did. I read it to you, but it was right here on 8 and 9. Okay. I did. The answer was I didn't forget to put it. I just missed it for some reason. Okay. Yep, there you go. Yep. So now the truth is that the Gemara does have a source. Okay? So the Gemara says, look at 9 now. My time at the Rav. So why would you hold a Rav? Namely. That there's no Bali that why wouldn't you hold of it? Now that's already striking. Why?
Because that sort of assumes that we do hold of it.
Very good. The Gemara, when it is looking for a source, actually looks for a source for the Shita who holds. Balei chayim einan nidachin, which means that the Gemara assumes that, which is more obvious.
Balei chayim nidachin.
Nidachin. And the Gemara says, my time at the Rav, the yalif mi mechusar zman. Because he learned it from mechusar zman.
What? I mean, I guess we were missing a time frame.
Right, remember Chumachusar's man?
Yeah.
Right, so now let's spell out his argument. Right? Says, an animal that is, right, not, right, is not yet ready to be a korban. Lav avagav dahashtal ochazi ki hadar mechzi shaper dami. What is the notion of Chumachusar's man tell you? Yeah, I mean, that is literally what the category means, is that something will be ra'ui in the future, but it isn't yet. Right? Isn't that is like the definition of what Mechuzer Zman means? So, Avagav the Hashtal, no, not exist. The Hashtal lo chazi, ki hadar mechti shaper dami. Right now, it's not yet ready, but when it is ready, it'll be allowed to be brought as a karban. Hachanami lo shna. So now the Gemara says, nonsense! Me, dummy, what are you talking about? Hatam lo idchaze klal. If the carbon isn't old enough, then what? Then it isn't ra'oi at all. And that's dachoi me ikara. Hacha nira v'nidche. But this case, our case, or any of these cases, Yoma, the case of the Hagrala and whatever, is Nirev and Nidche. So remember, I told you that already in our Gemara, you could be Medayeg, that Nirev and Nidche would be a less of a Chiddush than Nichoy Me'ekara. Nichoy Me'ekara would be a Chiddush. Here the Gemara says, so much so do we believe that what? The fact that Nichoy Me'ekara is not Dichoy proves nothing about Nirev and Nidche. But that even goes farther. What does that prove? That the smart, at some level, the Gemara assumes that Nira v'Nidche is the only one that really, really deserves the title Dachoy, right? Meaning, at this stage, the Gemara is going farther. It's not just saying, I want to clarify, the difference between our Gemara and this Gemara is not just that Nira v'nidche is more mechudash, sorry, is less mechudash than Dachoy me'ekara. It's that the Gemara here seems to assume that according to Rav, who doesn't hold of Dichoy me'ekara at all, sorry, that Rav doesn't hold of Bali Chaim Nidachin. The Gemara says the fact that Dichoy Me'ekara isn't Dichoy doesn't prove that the category doesn't exist because that's Dichoy Me'ekara. Obviously, that might not be Dichoy. But the Gemara is entertaining the possibility that that's simply not Dichoy at all. Not like not sufficient. It's just not Dichoy. So the Gemara says, and even buys it. The Gemara buys this. And therefore, it tries to bring another source. Well, let me just finish his source. Ella, Hainu Taimid Rav. So, why does Rav reject this? The Yalev Mi Balmum Over. Because he learns it from the idea of a temporary mum. What's the halacha by a temporary mum in a karban? Balmum Over, Lav Avagav Delo Chazi Hashta Kihadar Mechti Shapir Dami. It's not Roi now because it's a mum, but when the mum goes away, it'll be Roi. Hanami Lo Shna. So the Gemara says, well, how do I know that that's true? Vahatam, minalan, how do you know that's true? Dichtiv, ki mashchatam bohem mum bam. But the Pasuk says, because they're, you know, corruption, whatever is there, there is a mum in them. Mum bam hu delo yiratsu. Ha'avar muman yiratsu. Right? What does that mean? When the blemish is in them, they will not be accepted. But if it passes, they will be accepted. Which shows that. Now, is a mum something that should be docha karban? Well, no, even a temporary mum, because. Right? But that's the whole point. The Gemara says, but only once the mum goes away. Which means that while it has, is it invalidating? Yes, that's exactly the point. That's his whole point. That's his proof. He said a mum clearly is something that would push a carbon away because a mum kavua, you can never bring the carbon. A mum over, you're not allowed to bring it while it has a mum. And yet we say if the mum goes away, you can. And Rav says, aha, I've now proven that does not exist. Rav Yochanan, mi rachmona behem. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Bohem. It and only it. Heim hu dichavar mumon yiratsu. This is the exception to the rule. Zerakatuv. Which implies, hakol dechuyen, everything else, ho'ol v'nidchu, yidchu. So now we have a source finally. Right? The question is, do you view the halacha as of mum over as a paradigm or an exception? Right? The word Bahem. He thinks that it says Bahem. In it only. I don't know what you want from me. But the Gemara is now telling you that the source seems to be whether you take, meaning everyone therefore agrees that what? A mum over is a case that should be dichoy if there is such a thing, but it isn't. Rav takes that as the paradigm that at least when it comes to animals, there is no such thing as dichoy, meaning either it is currently has an invalidating force or it doesn't. But the fact that it had an invalidating force in the past doesn't create an invalidating reality in the present. And Rabbi Yochanan says, mum over is the exception to the rule. But that shows that everywhere else, an invalidating force will stay with the karban. So how does Rav respond? V'rav ahu bahem v'einayu domoratzo de tarovit maratzu. He has a different read of it, namely that it's only on their own that they aren't kosher, but if they get mixed up with other ones, so then they will be kosher, and the Gemara goes on to explain this. Meaning he uses the Gzeirat HaKatuv for something else, and then goes back and forth of how you deal with the Gzeirat HaKatuv, and that I cut out, and I didn't give you, okay? So now we finally have a source, right? Namely, do you compare it to yeah. So now, if I asked you according to this, now in the
it's
In the first case, the first attempted proof, namely, the attempted proof of what? What was the first attempted proof? No. The attempted proof was Mechutzer Zman. Right there, the Gemara says that proves nothing. That's Dachui Me'ikara. Okay? There, does the Gemara think that the difference between Dachui Me'ikara and Nirvin Incha is quantitative or qualitative? Because the Gemara is willing to say, right? Very good. But the Gemara there is willing to say, the fact that you have something which is Dachui Me'ikara that doesn't count proves nothing. Because that's not even Dichui. It's not like a magic word, right? What now? What if, right? So in the Mechutzer Zman one, right? It sounds like the Gemara is saying that Mechutzer Zman is right. It just isn't dichui at all, because at least at that stage, the Gemara is implying that dichui meikara isn't dichui. Right, just isn't dichui. Now, you could, if you wanted to, read it a little bit differently and say what? That not that all dichui meikara isn't dichui, but this dichui meikara isn't dichui, because you could say Mechuzer Zman is unique. Because why would Mechuzer Zman be unique? As the Gemara itself says, lo itchaze klal. It's just not old enough. I mean, right, there's like Deichel Meikara, where someone separated a female as a Karban Pesach, where it was an animal, and you gave it Kedusha, and therefore it was Deichel Meikara. But like, that was because it could be a different Karban, and you gave it the status of a Karban that it can't be. So it's Deichel Meikara. But like, it's at least plausible that a status could adhere to it, because it's an animal that's old enough to be a carbon, and you're trying to make it a carbon that it shouldn't be. So whereas a carbon that's not old enough, you might argue
that it wouldn't apply at all.
What?
That it wouldn't work at all. Because it wouldn't.
That.
Because it couldn't be given at the time.
One second. Right, it's not right. Because it can't be run at all, you might say that's not near Vinicha. The difference would be, right? What you learn from here. Is it that Dichui Meikara isn't even Dichui, or is that certain Dichui Meikaras aren't Dichui, but regular Dichui Meikara might be Dichui? And then it's a quantitative scale. Right? It's also a question of does this Sugya, in the end of the day, prove anything or provide any insight into the Sugya of Dichui? Right? If you take the more radical read, namely that this Dichui Meikara, meaning the fact that it's not old enough, is sort of unique, then this Sugya ends up not being a proof at all. And right, and we only rely on the mum one.
Well, how can we? Well, then it isn't unique in the sense that it's a different proof. It's unique in the sense that it has a different form of an appellation, which means we could apply it further than just where it is here, as well as the other.
Correct, right? And the question would be how much you can right. You can learn this in other cases and apply it elsewhere.
It seems like a very logistical. Because like as just timing and you know how it work, what is the situation in front of you? It's not something that, like the son, are we referring to the male that's born from the, not this stage. How can you say that you have a female
That's made out of korban, and while she's designated, she gives birth.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's all.
No, but you're trying to make sure.
Yeah, that's all.
But that
yeah.
How can that thing be dedicated for Pesach if it's not old enough to be given as a Pesach offering?
It is.
No, it's not. It has to be 8 days. It has to be like, how many? What is it? 8 days? What is it? Not 8 days. How many? How long after it's born can it be given? Like 8 days, if it's born, once it's born, it can't be given, like, at that moment. So how does it have to...
Okay, fine. Let's take what we have now, okay? We have a little bit more background. Not infinitely more background, but some more background. Now let's try again to understand the sugya. Okay, so now if I ask you again. What is dichoy? Right, what
without,
is it? Right, we have a source. Right, we have a source. Okay, good. It's a mum now. Good. Let's go to that source. Okay. Right, we now have a source, namely mum. What does that tell you? I mean, what is, by saying it, it's a mum, by comparing it to a mum, what does that tell us about dichoy? What does that tell us? Come on. No, but what does it tell you? Right? What does it prove that we've been saying over and over again? What is dichoy? Exactly, meaning the fact that we compare it to mum tells us that this isn't some external tool. The whole svara of dichoy is what? That there's something not inherent to the karban that can create an invalidation in the karban that doesn't go away, that invalidates the animal, right? By comparing it to mum, we have proven what was already implicit in our sugya, but very clearly, which is, right? Because you might have thought, remember our Gemara distinguished? Well, maybe you would say that there's a difference between the owner or something that affects the carbon itself. And we said, why would that be the case? Well, now we understand why that would be the case. Because if the model for dichoy is mum, then what we're saying is the svara of dichoy tells us that what should otherwise be a temporary invalidation is viewed not as a temporary invalidation, but as the creation of a invalidation that inheres in the object itself. Right? And then we have the machloket in the Gemara, whether mum over is the paradigm or the exception. Yeah? But the institution of mum tells us that that's what we're doing here. So then when the Gemara says, well, maybe you would apply Balei Chayim Nidachim only if you invalidated the carbon itself, but not if it was focused on the Gavra. So, right? We said, why would you say something like that? Right? Why would you say something like that? It makes a lot of sense, right? If the paradigm is mum, so you would say that things that relate to the carbon itself are more likely to be viewed as like a metaphysical mum. And yet we do, right? But now you understand why it's a chiddush, right? The chiddush is that because you might have thought, right? Let's take the mumar case, right? How might you have viewed mumar, and how does the Gemara clearly view mumar? You might have viewed mumar as a mumar can't bring a carbon. If that's the case, should dichoy apply an apostate? Right? Then should it invalidate a karban? Yes. No. It should just say that he can't bring it while he's a mumar.
Yes.
Right? But if you hold balei nichayim nidachin, and you hold that the ownership of the karban while he's a mumar makes it invalid even when he does tshuva, then what? How is the Gemara conceptualizing the psul of a karban mumar? Yeah, meaning that it's not, remember we talked about the Zevach Rishayim To'eva, is it the Zevach Rishayim or?
Zevach Rishayim.
Is it right? The Zevach of the Rishayim, right? The Zevach, which happens to be owned by a Rasha, or the Karban, which becomes defined as the Zevach HaRasha. The more you take that formulation, the more you understand what's going on here. It's saying, listen, it's not that a Mumar can't bring a Karban, can't, but the reason is because the Karban of a Mumar is invalid. As such, what? It can create a mum, and that a spiritual mum, a spiritual mum, that remains. Right? The comparison to mum highlights what we're asking. Right? Right? Which is, can you create that type of status when you're not actually affecting the carbon directly? Right? Because think about it. Almost all the status, almost all the other ones we've been talking about are cases like that, where at first glance they seem external to the carbon. Right? Think about them. Right? The usher who becomes poor. Is it obvious at first glance that that carbon is invalid carbon? No. How do I know it's not? Why is it not obvious that it's invalid carbon? Because if he was a poor person, he brought the same carbon, would it be fine?
Yeah.
Which means you would have thought that it's external. Namely, a rich person can't bring it.
Yeah.
Okay, but now he's poor. So it's not at all obvious the fact that he's separated when he was rich stops it from being brought from the same person when he's poor. The fact that we do is a big chiddush, which is saying that something that looks like it's a contextual obstacle to bringing a carbon is in fact a definitional problem, right? That it messes up the carbon, that it's a carbon shel ani of an usher. And that's puzzle. Right? Or the case of the mumar, or the case of the shote.
And it's an animal that went insane. Is that considered a boom?
No. It didn't have a bar dot to begin with.
Animals can still go insane.
I mean, they can, but halachically.
That's what I've asked. And how about if it kills someone?
If convicted, yes.
What do you mean by convicted?
Convicted. Yes.
If you let an animal kill someone, then it's a moot.
No, it has to be convicted in court. It's put to death.
That's only after a couple of times, no?
No.
I thought that it happened.
If it was a... I shouldn't say I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
If it gores people three times, then it's put to death. But
no,
if it kills someone, no?
If it kills somebody, it's chayv misa right away.
But if it gores three times, meaning it injures someone three times, then...
The question of goring is in terms of, right, in terms of nizikin, is there in pain? But no, if it kills, right, hence the famous chicken who killed in Yerushalayim.
What?
Yes. It's a sukkin chulin. Of the Tarnagolet in Yerushalayim that they put to death.
I think you can recently
there was a chicken.
No. It's a case in the Gemara of the murderous chicken. No, there's the murderous chicken in the Gemara in Chulin, and then there's the murderous rabbit of
I'll kill you,
of Monty Python, yeah.
Oh yeah.
What? The killer bunny, yeah.
Yeah,
so my question is the vlad of an animal that's made treif either through bia or through
no, there's just puzzle, yeah.
The vlad as well, meaning an animal was
you asked with the vlad.
The animal was raped and then it has a child.
Yes,
that child is also puzzle carbon.
I believe that is.
What
right.
About for chulin?
No.
For chulin, it's fine?
I think that's right. I have to check again. Like bestiality.
It happens to be pregnant. That makes more sense.
Yes. No. Yes. Not that it was impregnated by a human being. It was nirva while it was pregnant. No. Okay.
That makes
sense. This dystopian.
Also, what about Kilayim of.
Yeah, these are all
separate.
Yeah, these are all okay. Fine. Oi.
Yeah. I learned a couple things today.
What?
First of all, that wording does not mean killing.
Not necessarily, that's right.
I thought it was why is the kid born from the female animal that was dedicated as a
korban,
dedicated to Pesach, if it can't be given as a korban Pesach?
Say that again?
Why can't the child of the animal, of the female animal that can't be given as a Pesach, but was dedicated to Pesach, why is the child dedicated to Pesach at the moment that it's born?
Because
it can't be given as a
that's not happening until like 8 days.
That's true. So, and that's the same as the Mechutzer's Man problem that we talked about. Say it again? I mean, that was the Gemara's whole question. Was that Mechutzer's Man is the first attempted proof of the Gemara for Rav that Ein Balei Shmaim Nidachin. And then the Gemara says, right, and then we said, okay, but within that you have to ask, right, what? How is the Gemara viewing it? Is it right, the Gemara first says you can't prove it because that's Dichlei Meikara. So is it saying that's actually Dichlei Meikara? And then it's simply proving that Dichlei Meikara is fundamentally different than Erev Nidchei, at least according to Rav. Right? Or is it saying that, no, Mechutzer's Man is actually sui generis even in the world. It's not a regular Dichlei Meikara. It's Dichlei Meikara of Mechutzer's Man, which is like a super...
So, but once I
have, you know, not problem, but maybe Dichlei Meikara would be a problem.
Whoever brought this up first has to think that it wasn't a problem.
Right, Rav thinks it's directly. Correct. Correct. Right, but Rav thinks analysis is not a problem, but the Gemara suggests that that's his proof for everything. Now, again, the simple shot here is that what? Okay, maybe we'll pause on this. The simple shot here is that we finally got a little bit of evidence for what's going on in this, which is. The simple shot, again, you could argue on this, and Wilkinson has analysis, but I'm not going to get too much into it. The simple shot, which he acknowledges as well, is that this sugya provides actually our first conceptual clue as to what's going on, which is that everybody agrees that the proper concept, the proper parallel to the concept of dichoy is mu. Everyone agrees to that. Namely, that the chiddush in this whole sugya is that just like mum creates an invalidation in the karban, it is possible for other things that you would have thought are only contextual, are in fact not, and things therefore like zevach rishah, like the karban of a mumar, it's not that the mumar happens to not be able to bring the karban, but that the karban becomes defined as a zevach of a mumar and now is puzzle. Everyone seems to agree that that is the proper way of thinking about dichui. Right? What is their machloket? Whether that exists. Right? That Rav says that's the proper model, and yet... Right? But the fact is that even by mum, which is the paradigm, a mum over is not going to invalidate a karban. And therefore Rav learns that there is no such thing, that this whole notion of there being some sort of external psul, which creates a mum, right, an inherent definitional problem in the karban that remains even after the contextual problem is removed, doesn't exist. And Rabbi Yochanan holds, it does, meaning he seems to agree with Rav that mum is the right model. I mean, think of, there's two ways of reading Rabbi Yochanan. One is, mum is the right model, but there's a gzer d'katuv. But what does the gzer d'katuv tell you? It can tell you one of two things. It can either tell you that really dichui is like a mum, and really a mum over should invalidate a karban. It's just that there's a gzer d'katuv that it doesn't. But the way to think about dichui is a mum over, which is postel because it doesn't get the gzer d'katuv. Right? That's one way of reading Rabbi Yochanan. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, they both say that dichui, what dichui is an external psul that creates an internal psul, right? A contextual that creates an internal psul, and the question is whether such a thing exists. Rav says you learn from mum over that it doesn't. According to Rabbi Yochanan, this is essentially a mum over without the gzer d'katuv, and therefore it is invalidated. The other possibility is to say that, no, Rabbi Yochanan says that the gzer d'katuv tells you that, right, that mum is the wrong model, and therefore you have to come up with yet a different model for dichui, but a parallel model, a similar model, I don't know. Right, but we start to actually have a beginning of a language to understand where it's coming from. Again, we still need to plug in all the machlokot about it. Why would you think that doesn't apply by Balei Chaim when it comes to exempts? Why do we think there's different dichui mekar and nir v'nidcha? Right, we still have to flesh those out.
I don't know why you wouldn't apply that.
Okay, that's what we have to get to.
Because it's not the way it all